Hello, friend. Welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. Carm Capriato here with episode 539. And can you believe I got Jeremy O'Neill and Chris Collins in my studio at Vision 2020? Oh, yeah. Do you know that stories is what I do? You know, getting stories told from aftermarket professionals? You know that creating and improving working systems, acknowledging top employees, sharpening your customer experience are all stories that are inside the podcast content library and a whole lot more. These stories give life and meaning to our collective wisdom, and the podcast strives for these easy-to-swallow caplets that are designed for our industry's growth and future. During Vision 2020, Jeremy O'Neill and Chris Collins dissected the successful mindset for us to study with the accent on serving the customer. Hey, as always, honored to count you as a loyal listener who finds the gems of insight from every podcast we produce for you. Here's a taste of a great interview with Jeremy O'Neill and Chris Collins.
Really connecting with customers on a deeper level and having a rich uncle, building your database of key throwers. I mean, that's what you want. Customers that you've never betrayed. I always say, like, if you wouldn't sell it to your mom, don't sell it.
Hey, Carm here. And remember, we hold the nuts and bolts of automotive aftermarket acumen right here. Young and old, founders and successors, techs and diagnosticians, shop owners or students. We are here to help you rise to new levels and meet your challenges with the industry's premier online and on-demand podcast. Look, I want to thank a strong supporter of the podcast, Napa Auto Care. And as you know, the Napa Expo has officially been rescheduled. February 1st through the 4th, 2021. I'll tell you, Las Vegas will be painted blue and gold as Team Napa puts on the fabulous event that was planned prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. Napa wants to thank everyone for understanding the event postponement and sends well wishes to you and your families, and also to be safe. Rest assured, Team Napa is as energized and invested as ever in Napa Expo, and we look forward to hosting you in February 2021. Find the key talking points for this episode with Jeremy O'Neill and Chris Collins at remarkableresults.biz/E539. Here's something that you already know. Jeremy and Chris remind you that you cannot put good people into a bad system. And they talk about the fact that top-performing employees thrive. They thrive on successful systems and processes. They also get into customer trust, connection, and that the car is a commodity and is not as relevant to your relationship with your client as you think. If you need a free mobile listening app to listen to this while you're on the run, go to remarkableresults.biz/subscribe. And please, please don't forget about the books page on the website. You know, the books mentioned throughout our catalog of podcasts are listed there. Look, you may have to listen to this thing twice to get every fourth down conversion you can use to better you and your shop. Hey, a warm welcome to Jeremy O'Neill and Chris Collins. We're here at Vision 2020. You are all experiencing a ton of great interviews that we're doing here. Needless to say, this one's going to be it too. I just got a feeling about it. And, you know, I talked to Jeremy during the week and he says, hey, let's get together. I'm going to bring Chris Collins with me. And I go, oh my God, how cool is that? Introduce him for us.
Yeah, my pleasure to introduce Chris Collins. We've been working on a project under the radar for probably what the last 6 to 7 months to bridge, bring our training together and to provide more information and opportunity for the aftermarket. So, Chris Collins, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
In your company?
Chris Collins.
Oh, Inc. INC.
I love it.
It's funny when I call places and they're like, in your name, and I go, Chris Collins, in your company?
Yeah.
Chris Collins. And they think I'm being funny, but
it only took me about a year working with a podcast coach that says, you know, it's your brand, Carm. You need to go out and buy carmcapriato.com, yeah. Right?
So, well, that probably is easier to buy than Chris Collins.
Oh, I bet you it is.
I've tried to buy it.
You can't
politically sell it. Oh, so that's why it's Chris Collins Inc.
Or Mike.com. Something like that.
Yeah. And Jeremy is, of course, with Freedom Auto Repair in Hesperia, California, and Advisor Fix.
Well, it's funny how my identity's gone away from Advisor Fix to Freedom Auto Repair as a shop owner. And
you talk about it so much. I mean, we did a panel discussion at ASA Illinois, and I published those episodes finally.
I saw them
5 weeks in a row. And I have to tell you, the story behind that is that in September, we did this panel discussion in Chicago. You were on the panel with Donnie Cipher, with Sarah Fraser, with Jim Silverman, with Danny Sanchez, with Noah Frank. And I never looked or listened for
2 or 3 months. And then I finally, during the holiday, decided to listen and see if there was anything worthwhile pulling out of the 6 hour panel discussion that we had for the whole day thing. And I just so fell in love with what happened.
That's awesome.
And, yeah. And they were just, we called them Aftermarket Acumen Part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Wow.
And they released 5 weeks in a row every Friday. And I think the last one went out a couple, but I just encourage anyone to go and listen to them. You'll learn so much.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to talk about this, about service advising, huh?
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. My background and Chris's is very similar. Southern California, the second dealership I ever worked at was right next door to the BMW store that
it's funny. A small world it is.
Absolutely. Right. Wow. And, so our connection came, through that. And I had known who he was and I've seen his stuff and I was really impressed with it as an advisor. And for me, I look at my career path and I always challenge students in class to, you know, live your dream. Today's the day. Go out and live your dream. And I've gotten emails and phone calls from advisors that say, hey, I was in the wrong career path. I'm now teaching school or I'm a shop owner. And I look back at my path as an advisor, you know, wanting so hard to go from the independent to get into a dealership to write service and being able to make that gap and then become a shop owner, you know, own a consulting company and do training and do all that. So the reason we're here is to help everybody live their dream and they can do what they want if they just set their goals and get to work, right?
Yeah. I love what you said about finding their way. I wrote that down. Mm-hmm. You owned a shop. Now I'm a coach. I owned a shop, or I was a service advisor. Now I'm teaching and training. There's a gift that people end up having, and sometimes they never find it for a while. And you hear sometimes negative, well, you could never run a shop, and so why are you coaching? Well, because that's my gift. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with changing careers or taking the wisdom that you have and helping share it with other people.
Yeah, but the one thing that I think we share is we kind of hate consultants. Like, that's the thing that we
you hate, you
come
hate the
from.
Word? You hate the word or you hate consultants as a...
The thing with business and performing at the level you should perform at is that there's an idealized thing. And so oftentimes, like, you can tell right away that somebody's never ran a business, right? Like, take, for example, I was watching Simon Sinek in these videos that he did on leadership. And I love Simon Sinek. I think his books are good. But he was talking about how, you know, if you have a salesperson or an advisor or something that's underperforming and you go to him and you're like, hey, you got 2 months to turn this around or you're fired. And he's like, that's not the way to do it. What you want to do is go sit down with him and you want to say, like, hey, are you having a hard time at home? Are you okay? So right away, like, the thing that you notice from that is he's never ran a business. Because okay, it isn't right. About either one of those. It isn't about, hey, are you okay at home? Is everything okay? It's about a system. And right. If you're not, you know, greeting customers and following up and following the system, then your numbers are going to be low. But it's about a system. So if you've actually ran a business, you understand that it's about the system, not about the idealized version. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times what's missing is consultants have this idealized version and they want to talk about proficiency and efficiency for hours on end. And it isn't going to make us any more money or make us any better. And I think that's one thing we definitely have in common. And you've probably experienced that through your journey of having a shop. And it's different teaching versus doing, right?
Absolutely.
We're definitely doers over the idealized version of things.
Absolutely. And that's why I went back and found the worst shop in the United States to purchase 3 years ago.
And he's not afraid to talk about it.
No. And you know what? It's very interesting.
Well, it's honest.
Took me 2 years to finally get my manager to come in. I was after this guy recruiting him hard for 2 years. And then finally the stars aligned. And Carm, it is amazing when you have the right personnel in place. And this is the challenge. What Chris is talking about is, you know, we're here at Vision. Everybody's going to get a ton of knowledge. And what's going to happen is this. When they go back home, the reality is this. If you make 3 changes in the next 30 days, you're a stellar performer. Most people come here, they go to class, they get some great ideas, and then they go back to the reality, they don't change anything. Mm-mm. So,
and you're still alone too.
Right.
I think one of the things and the reason why I've done as well as I have is I'm running a community more than anything. It's about not being alone and being part of a community because the truth is it's hard.
Right. But
you don't sell a lot of training if you come out and go, hey, everybody buy my training. It's really hard. Like, you just wouldn't, right? Like, if somebody was selling weight loss.
I don't know. I would almost want to buy that because you told me it was hard.
Well, I think things are flipping that way because everybody's bought the idealized stuff and they felt like, well, I never got a result. But if you were selling weight loss,
you mean the digital vehicle inspection isn't going to triple my repair order overnight?
No.
Oh, tablets are not going to change my, the tablet didn't change my auto repair shop.
It's a thing.
You could do it with paper.
Well, what's the next best shop management program out there I should use? Should I switch? You know, these are all the questions that we get, but really it's deep down. It's a cultural thing.
I want to pull on the fact that if you take three things away
and you
actually implement, Jeremy is so transparent about the challenges that you've had, which makes you, I think, a dynamic person to listen to because you're not afraid to tell the struggle. And I remember, and I can't remember what you said, but you said my reboot 12.0 or something.
Oh yeah.
And to me, that is so cool to be able to take away three ideas from vision, go to my place and do a reboot.
Yes.
See,
absolutely.
I mean, it's the metaphor that people need to think about. I'm going to go home, implement, and do a reboot.
Yeah. And, you know, Chris talks about a system. So every class that we go through, I recommend at the end of the class, write down three things that you are committed to doing in the next 30 days. Three things. That's it. Don't worry about the rest. And if you take action once, put in saw one per week, at the end of 30 days, the change that you see in your business will be drastic because you actually took action.
Yeah.
You know, and the reality is this. We're on Freedom Auto Repair, I think, 22.5. Literally, January was hard. My new manager came in, and he had a mission to get rid of everybody in the shop. Like, this is my shop. We're going to run it my way. What you've done hasn't gotten you really to where you want to go, so we're going to do mine. I'm like, oh, slow down a little. Let's pull the reins back. And then I go in on a Monday, and there's no mechanics. And I'm like, okay. That sucks. Now I got to pick up a wrench and fix cars. So that takes me off my game as far as some of the other stuff. But the message I'm trying to send here is when one of our last technicians left, I was going through his toolbox and at the bottom was his, we shut the shop down last year and brought everybody from the shop to training. A big expense, right? From California out here to Kansas City. The binders and all the materials were in the bottom of the toolbox. He never opened up his workbook once, except for what we did within the shop for training. So the reality is this, most people won't take action. The sad part is they're going to get to where they're going to be in 20 years by default, not by a plan or executing on what they want. And there's very few people who actually take the action and make the life that they want.
Well said. And there's more here that have paid the way for the entire shop, closed it.
Yes.
More this year than ever. In fact, I just did a session with the coaches and I spoke that, and I don't want to be too redundant in these vision podcasts.
Hey, it's Carm here to tell you about the best shop management solution for your auto care center, Trax Enterprise. Now, since NAPA introduced Trax in 1989, it's been the industry's leading shop management system out there. Today, Trax Enterprise offers even more of the features auto care center owners want, things like a powerful interactive scheduling calendar, faster and streamlined workflow, multi-shop capabilities, easy pay consumer financing integration, and more. That means you can count on Trax Enterprise to help drive your success today and well into the future. The tabbed interface lets you open and view multiple estimates, ROs, invoices, and purchase orders all at the same time. You can even place windows side by side, over or under, or drag a tab from another application outside Trax to open another window. One auto care center owner said he loves being able to have 10 to 12 work orders open at once. Enterprise also offers a Microsoft Outlook type calendar so you can view daily, weekly, and monthly schedules, drag and drop appointments between days and times, and block time to indicate length of work. Punch out to Mitchell Pro Demand is another huge benefit. It provides embedded labor, part, maintenance, and fluid capacities that can be transferred to estimates and repair orders within Trax. Trax Enterprise also streamlines parts ordering. Just one click and it's done. The mobile capture app sold another auto care owner on Trax Enterprise. He said there's no reason to write VINs by hand anymore. You can decode the VIN from a mobile device and send all the information directly to Trax. There are reporting features too. For example, with just a couple of clicks, you can find out how many repair orders you've written in a month. Talk to your Napa Auto Parts store and find out more about what Trax Enterprise can do for you, plus the hundreds of other great things the auto care program has to offer.
Glad you're here. What are we going to talk about?
Bridging the gap. So Chris's background being a dealership service advisor, service manager, dealer principal, there is a huge difference in the way that the businesses operate. But the principles of taking care of customers and customer collecting are the same. So he has a great video online, you know, Pet the Dog. It's one of the funniest stories I've ever watched or heard about, you know, writing up a customer. It's,
I'll put the link in the show notes for the episode.
I'm a little different than Chris because I'm very technical and I will crawl on the ground and roll around and change oil and fix cars. And
only because you have to right now.
Yeah. But even if he was in my position, he would do it different. It's just,
yeah, I wouldn't.
You would do what I do?
No.
Yeah. So it's just a different mindset.
And what he means by that is like, I wouldn't work on a car. Or like, you know, I ran the number one BMW dealership in the country and I didn't know how to desk a deal or sell a car. Like, mm-hmm. But I knew how to get the right people.
Yes. And that's key.
Because it's more about the people and the mindset and the system. I know how to create a system.
Yes.
I mean, I can fix a gym. I can fix a dealership. I can fix a shop. I can fix a doctor's office.
And you know, so here's the deal. The succession that's going to happen in our industry today is not going to be from the technician side of the business. We say that there's going to be business people buying businesses and running them like a business. And that's exactly what you just said.
Yeah. And see, I'm a doer. And so for me, training service advisors is the hardest job I've ever had. I can walk into a service counter and get results. I can bring more cars in. We can sell the work, get 5-star reviews. But to get another human being to change their behavior and get the same results that we could get at the counter is key. And that's why I was excited to partner with him, because the system that he builds works. It's duplicatable. And when we were going through, we're launching our on-demand training platform this weekend. And I just love it. It was the hardest thing I've ever done because I thought I was good. And then when he came to the shop, we shot some videos and he's like, okay, here's your first take. Go ahead. And right in the middle of stop, stop, stop. That absolutely sucked. You got to do better. You got 15 minutes and everybody would leave and I'd have 15 minutes to figure it out. Like, okay, what am I going to say? What's the story? What's the message? How are we going to get this through to our viewers? So it's elevated my game. And that's really just the partnership has been really good at that level.
So you pushed it.
Yeah. But I think that goes both ways.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we've learned from each other. For sure.
What have you learned from Jeremy?
The approach to customers and the mindset, the how to you know, create more sales and revenue at the point of write up. Like, he's so good at that. Like, and I thought I was good at it.
Well, nice compliment.
Huh? I have my arms in the air. Like, yes.
Yeah, I know. You're doing a Rocky here.
Yeah, there we go.
And what have you learned from Chris?
Systems, systems, systems.
See, that wins wars, right?
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. When I was young, people would always argue with me about that. They'd be like, it's the people that are most important. But if you plug good people into bad systems, you kill them. It's the system first and then the people second.
Wait a minute.
I just had
would you do me a favor and say that again?
Hold on. I need to write that down.
Oh my God. Say that again.
It's systems first and people second.
And if you plug people into bad systems, they fail.
Yeah. Like I think I was like 29. So I was running this BMW dealership in Orange County, and the largest Mercedes store in the country was the House of Imports. Now the number one store is Fletcher Jones, but they were bought by a consolidation group called AutoNation, and they changed all the salespeople's pay plans, and all the salespeople were leaving. And there was this bidding war between all of us in Orange County to get these top salespeople that would sell 40, 60 cars a month. Like, they were A player salespeople. And my team went after one. He wanted 10 grand sign on. And then, you know, we had to agree to pay for his newsletter and a bunch of other things, which we did. And we got him on board. And he was there 2 weeks, and he comes in my office and he closes the door and he says, you know, Chris, I really believe in what you're doing here. And I think you're going to have a lot of success, but you're not ready for me. And I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, my job is to sell cars. He goes, you know, I have a customer on a white X5 with tan interior. It says we have 3 of them. I've spent 2 hours and I can't find them. And then I do sell it and I go to find the books and the extra keys and I can't find it. And he goes, I spend all day chasing. The systems were broken. And so we weren't ready for him. He was right. I had an A player, but there was no way that he was going to perform to what his ego, because top performers have this expectation of themselves. You know, he's like, hey, I believe in you and you're going to do things, but you're not ready for me. Call me in a year. And literally a year later, we scanned every car. We had 5 lots. We scanned every car twice a day. all the books were in the parts department. Like, it was all locked down, and the salespeople were busy selling cars, not chasing things. But, you know, it's about the system. So it's the same thing with customers. Like, if the advisor's doing 25 different things and they're not spending their time with the customer, getting to know the customer, what we call petting the dog, but building rapport, following up, updating them when they don't expect it, mm-hmm. and the customers are chasing us, that's when, you know, that's when we lose them.
Absolutely. And it's the same thing for an independent repair shop. The systems he's talking about, I can't find the car. Well, that's car delivery. Is the car ready and staged for the customer to arrive and pick it up? And car delivery is simply where the money is paid. That's the judgment right there. Were you genuine in your empathy with me? Did you really care about me? And did you do the job? Go to any shop across North America at 4:30 p.m. You will see a beehive of activity on the shops that don't have systems. They're running around. They're crazy.
Phones are ringing.
Yeah, their hair's on fire. Oh, Mr. Johnson, we're almost done with it. Just give us another 45 minutes and we'll call you. Well, that's bullshit. We took
a service drive for a dealership, but they're riding about 150 cars a day. And we put our system in and we're standing in the drive at 11 in the morning. And they're like, whoa, we're dead today. It's too bad that, you know, you're here and we're kicking this off and it's dead. And we looked and we'd written 110 cars. Slow is fast. Like, it's calm. Everything has a purpose.
Slow is fast. Less is more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
But only when the system supports it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what you guys have just been talking about for a minute, I got to stop for a minute and ask my listener this. Chris says top performers want systems and processes, and it makes them excel, and they're comfortable in their work, and they're productive in whatever way. It doesn't matter if it's at the service counter, if it's in the shop. Look inside your business. That's the thing you need to think about. Listen, this isn't working between me and him, and it's maybe not him. Maybe it's you and the lack of structure, the lack of discipline, the lack of systems that puts this person not being productive for you, that you think you're wasting your money. You know, some of those people will go to the owner and say, listen, we need structure. We need systems. And more, this podcast is 5 years old, and that continues to be one of the biggest and most important things that's discussed from the top operators is that, and you know, they say this often, don't go for store two.
Oh, right.
If you don't have processes and systems in play,
use something scalable.
You will lose both.
Yeah.
Right.
It has to be scalable.
Yeah.
So good systems are scalable, right?
Yep.
Yes, they are. You just build on them.
So bridge gaps.
Yeah. And the same thing, just to tie, finish on that last statement. If you're, you know, we struggle with attracting technicians today. And I look at my shop and I walk in and I'm like, okay, if I was a tech that wanted to make $125,000 a year, I'm working at another shop and I'm successful. My paycheck's coming in every month. Do I trust Freedom Auto Repair to provide my livelihood long term? Mm-hmm. What type of business have I built? And are we at that level that we can attract the A players? And literally for 2 years, we weren't. It was that uphill struggle to get there. And we're finally there. And I think that's why it took 2 years for my manager to come in, because he wanted to see me grow and build the systems to a place where he could come in and.
So your uphill battle wasn't that you guys weren't good at the counter, because Jeremy was there, but it was just building the business's systems.
Yes. Well, and when you take a business that's dead, whether it's a dealership or an independent repair shop, there's a time factor to grow. And I went in really naive. My whole goal on the shop was, I'm going to take a shop that did $143,000 in revenue in 2016 and do $1 million a year out of it in 1 year. And we were successful on that. If you look at the monthly sales, okay, we have more than 10 times grown revenue at the shop. It would have been a lot easier with systems right from the beginning.
But painful.
Very painful.
Yeah.
A lot of work and a lot of pain. And a lot of shop owners and service advisors struggle with that. I mean, look, the service advising position is one of the hardest jobs on the planet. It's really hard.
I believe that.
You can have the best plan. I can have my day laid out, my task list built. And as soon as I look up from my paper, there's a customer that I had no idea was coming in that wants to drop their car off. And what do I have to do? I have to react.
Invest, yeah.
I've got to respond to that. So now I get that car written up and then the phone rings. What do I have to do? I've got to answer the phone, right? And so there's all these incoming interruptions that steal our time during the day. And it's no wonder that most advisors are unhealthy. They don't exercise. They drink a case of Red Bull a day with coffee and all this other stuff just to get through the day, because the emotional ups and downs are super hard.
The episode we recorded just before this, Bob Greenwood said that the average shop today is short three people, one in the bays, one at the counter, and one in the office.
He's got something there. The other thing I want to talk about was bridging the gap. So let's talk about moving, you know, how does the training overlap, whether you're a dealership advisor or an independent repair shop service advisor? And realistically, the principles remain the same. What are some shifts that you're seeing coming up, Chris, in the customer experience? You know, we had something on the on SDR the other day where we talked about Toyota might possibly replace advisors with tablets, right? And this has been something that's been a topic here at Vision for the last 5 to 6 years with digital sales processes, digital inspections. So what are some things that service advisors can do to future-proof themselves from the technology that could take their job?
So I wrote a book for advisors called The Millionaire Service Advisor, and it starts off with a story about a rich uncle. I had this rich uncle, and he bought me a house, and he sent me on vacations and, you know, bought me cars and the whole thing. And my rich uncle was my customer base. And so when you're a service advisor, you're in the business of collecting customers. You want to be the trusted person in somebody's life that mm-hmm. you have never broken their trust. You've never betrayed them. They believe in you, and you over deliver, you know them, right? Too often, I think advisors get caught on the car, but the car is a commodity. The car really is irrelevant to the relationship. What's important is really, and back to our term, pet the dog, is connecting with customers on a deeper level and knowing like, hey, where are you headed today? Oh, I work over at Microsoft. What do you do at Microsoft? Oh, I'm in HR. Oh, well, without like telling me any names, what's the craziest harassment suit? And then you have them, right? Yeah. Now you have them.
Yeah.
Where are you headed today?
Well, I really can't say anything, but you know, you're Chris.
Yeah, yeah. Like in, but we're like, well, why are you bringing it in? What's wrong with it? Where, you know, and it, the car is a commodity. It's about the relationship. So the secret to being a successful advisor is you can't automate that relationship. Really connecting with customers on a deeper level and having a rich uncle, building your database of key throwers. I mean, that's what you want. Customers that you've never betrayed. I always say, like, if you wouldn't sell it to your mom, don't sell it. Like, really be
absolutely
that trusted person.
What would I do with my mom if my mom was?
Yeah. If you follow that rule, you we're playing the long-term game here.
Yeah.
We're not playing the short-term win now and lose later. So,
not beating up our training industry, but I see a lot of independent consultant companies that come into shops and they're so transactionally focused. If, for instance, one concept that is taught is you bring the car and you put it up on the rack, you find one thing to sell the customer to determine whether they're a buyer or not. And to me, that's the wrong approach. That's self-serving sales approach on how can I get you to buy more? And if you're not going to buy, get out of my shop. And I want a more deeper relationship base with our clientele. I want to be your car care person.
Deeper means long term.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, the financial consequences of properly maintaining and repairing a car. When the car's done, is it time for you to find a new car? Well, what network do I have to help you get into another vehicle? And this, you know, with dealerships, this is full circle, right? The circle of trust, bringing it all the way back where you take a service customer and when they're done with the car, you sell them another vehicle, right? You're turning that clientele, but you're their car person. And that's really where, in my career, that's been the funnest part is helping.
Oh, and it's the most rewarding part too.
It is, absolutely.
Chris, the challenge, you know, the aftermarket has, we hear 70, 75% of the business out of warranty. What do the dealers think of that?
It's an interesting thing because I'm on both sides, right? So I have an independent group in my coaching group, and then I have a lot of dealerships, and it's interesting because they both think the other has the advantage. They both think that the other has the advantage on hiring techs, and none of it is true. It's really, you have the advantage that you create. Like, customers want to be helped, and then what's the outcome of the system that you put in front of the, you're running the customer through a gauntlet, a system. Mm-hmm. What's the outcome of that system? It doesn't really matter. It's kind of like back to an analogy that I heard a long time ago was like, let's say that you own a hamburger restaurant and we're sitting talking and I say like, hey, I was just helping my friend over here that owns this bank and we doubled his enrollments and their revenue's going crazy. And you're like, yeah, that's a bank. I'm hamburgers. And I'm like, yeah, but it was a drive-through and you could do a drive-through. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. Like, everybody thinks it's better on the other side. And really the enemy is you. You need to look in the mirror and figure out your thing. It isn't about them. What is sad, because, you know, I grew up in the dealership world. What is sad is that the dealerships have home field advantage. Mm-hmm. They sell them the car. And then they lose 75% of the customers after they sell the car. And you have home field advantage. Like, what more could you want? If you were going to start off like, you control what the customer thinks, how they, you know, they're trained, the smell, like every part of that you train, and the outcome is it of that is 75% of them leave you.
Well, it's funny.
It's depressing.
It is, because in the class we're doing tomorrow, Maintenance Profit Master, it's all about selling maintenance on 2017 through 2020 vehicles. And I always get the comment in the room is, why are you talking about dealerships? And I'm like, where do you think the car started from? Like, the customer picked it up at a dealership. And if I have a 2019 Honda CR-V and I call your service and I say, hey, I'm due for my B24 service, can you do that? You know what we hear? Oh, we don't do that service. Or what? Yeah, I'll have to get back to you. So it's interesting to see that, yeah, the dealerships have the home field advantage. The vehicle starts there. The customer relationship starts there. And but Chris, you know, it's the parts department's fault. That's an inside joke. All right. They've kind
of like, all right, but I don't get it. It's not funny.
When you do get it, you're going to crack up.
Off microphone, you can tell me.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's no different with an independent repair shop. I talk to shop owners and advisor, look at the history on your customer. If you're a hardcore repair shop, you're going to see gaps in the visits, meaning customer comes in, spend $3,500. I don't see him for 18 or 24 months. They spend another $2,000. So that customer's labeled you as a repair shop, and there's a lot of pain that goes into that transaction. So if you're spending $3,000 every time you come to Freedom Auto Repair, when you think about us, what do? Hey, honey, do we have the money to go in?
Yeah.
You know, they keep the car for a long time. Like last time they had it for 4.5 months. And it was, no, I'm joking. Don't keep cars that long.
And that was quick.
That was fast, right? That was their same day service guarantee. But it's, you can see the gap. So it's no different. The customer retention model that Chris is talking about at dealerships, it is no different with an independent repair shop. Mm-hmm. You have a small window of opportunity with the asset right now. The car is the asset, but your customer is your client for life. I don't care what car they drive. We're going to be able to provide service for them. You know, Greg Buckley has done some amazing stuff with, you know, transportation provider and solution, and really focusing in on that customer relationship. And that's what he's talking about. And it's, I think it's over the next 5 years, we really have to capture our client base and do a great job managing it.
I think too, Carmen, it comes down to mindset more than anything else. Is like, we are tribal by nature. And so we kind of take a side. Like, people will say to me like, hey, you shouldn't talk politics. And I'm always like, why not? You can change my mind. I'm not so set on anything that you can't change my mind.
That's a hell of an outlook.
A lot of people are so set on something that they don't ask questions and they're not trying to get better. They're just stuck in their trench and they're going to fight and die in their trench instead of understanding that there's a better way. Somebody out there might be doing it different, might be having success. And so the my market's different, independence versus dealer, all that. It's really the wrong conversation. The conversation is, how do we take care of customers?
Listen to what Chris just said. Get out of your own way. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the whole politics analogy. You know, if you're going to fight for your position, you're never going to grow. If you fight for your position and you have a failing business, then it will continue to fail if you don't go out and learn and blossom. And actually, I always say you got to open up to new ideas.
Yeah. I think people are too polarized with that. Yeah. Especially politics. It cracks me up because you're like, really? You were in the White House when they talked about that? Mm. Like, we know what they want us to know. Right? Like, yes. They're protecting us from the truth.
Right. I heard.
We're going to debate and fight and never talk to each other again because you're an expert from Fox News or CNN. Like, you know, we're all in the same fight together. We're all Americans. Mm. We have an amazing country. Why aren't we talking about that? Why does it have to be, you know, versus whatever, whatever it is.
I got to stop. You know, I know you're listening out there. I know you care. The reason you're listening to the podcast is because you care to grow a better world, a better life, be a better leader. And I got to stop for a moment. Chris said the advantage you create. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to that and say that that's a big takeaway. He also said the enemy is you.
Yeah.
Please write that down. Do something about it. And then he says dealers have the hometown advantage. How are you going to continue to maintain what you have?
Well, yeah, and because of the customer experience, they're losing that advantage.
Right, they are.
And that's the fight, is how do we serve the customer better? If we take care of the customer and they trust us, then we're playing the long-term game. Everything takes care of itself.
Chris, thanks for being here, man. Thanks for coming out to Vision. I'm excited to have you, you know, sit through our classes and connect with a lot of the independent guys. You know, you've already had a couple of people come up to you and recognize you from the podcast and all that. So I'm excited to have you here. And Carm, keep doing what you're doing, man. We love what you're doing. And you've got so many different avenues to help the shop owner and service advisor out there. It's absolutely fascinating.
I'm scrolling through all these podcasts. I typed in Jeremy, right? It's almost like you're on more than me.
No way.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Episode 327, 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, it can't be.
No. That is it because
is that it?
That's Chris Cloutier, Barry Barrett, and myself. And that's Chris it. Tells a story of how he had to separate.
Yeah, it was Chris, yeah.
Barry and myself from getting into that, a fist
that was great. Really? What were you guys fighting about? Politics?
Who was the best service advisor on the planet?
You were fighting about that?
Yeah, we were ready to throw down out in the Sheraton lobby.
It is classic. it's classic. And I think it was Chris was trying to broker it. Actually, yeah. I think it was Chris just was trying to incite the riot, and he engaged both of you. And it was so it's truly a classic episode.
Go were you drinking?
327. Yeah,
always.
Yeah, yeah. That's when he brought the cooler for the first time. I realized that Jay was a party guy.
Jesus. Can you please not let my wife listen to this one? Like, she thinks I'm working when I'm at these shows.
Your poor wife. Really, huh?
Amazing.
21 years, man. It's been awesome.
So anyway, a little bit about you, Chris. How could they listen to your show and watch your videos and stuff?
So on YouTube or on iTunes or Spotify, it's Service Drive Revolution.
Okay, cool.
Or Revolution.
There we go.
Thanks so much. Lots of great nuggets. You guys have a good show. Change some lives while you're here.
We will, absolutely. Thank you, Carm.
Jeremy O'Neill. Chris Collins, thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.